Yo.
Okay, so we'll doom scroll here in a minute, but I will tell you what I know about this Clyde Edwards-Helaire thing, because it's limited. I'd never heard of this until today. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire will miss the first four games of this season.
Right.
And the team placed him on the non-football illness list to start the season. Right. And they said it's because he has been suffering from PTSD, which when I saw that, I was like, is this something people are aware of? Yeah. Did you guys know that? But it sounds like you guys weren't aware of this either. Apparently, he's been dealing with PTSD for a while. It began in 2018. It can lead him to throw up. It can lead him to, he says, like, not be in the game, not 100% mentally be in the game because he gets anxious about this. And one of the things that I read said that it all started with something that he described as a self-defense situation. I was like, okay, well, I need more information than that. But I did find an article that said that what happened was he and a friend went to sell some sort of electronics item.
And this was when?
2018, I think it said. They went to sell some sort of an electronics item. It was another LSU teammate. And when they get to the, so I just imagine, again, I didn't read this, but I'm imagining you put something on Facebook Marketplace or whatever.
Sure, right.
You go to meet someone. They get there and
it's like that meme. Standing out here about to get robbed because my wife wanted to sell a blender for $6.
And that sounds like that's what happened here because apparently the person or person, someone tried to rob them when they get there to sell this thing. And one of them, either Clyde or the other player, that part I'm not clear on, shot and killed this person.
Oh.
And then the only other thing I saw was that the AP said that he had been cleared of any, you know, legal wrongdoing, whatever. Legally, he was—he'd been cleared.
Would he have been?
It was a self-defense situation. Yeah, it was him and an LSU. Him and an LSU teammate. I'd never heard of it, and so there's your Clyde Edwards-Helaire thing, and he will not be playing the first four games of the season
because that's still bothering him.
The PTSD apparently still bothers him, and like I said, he was talking about how it causes him to vomit, and he's having, you know. I can only imagine. I don't know, but maybe someone else knows. If you know more, tell us. We've got a text line, 913-586-7989.
So I just looked it up, and this is from 2018. So LSU football player Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Jared Small were attempting to sell electronics. I remember this story.
You do? Okay.
In an area north of Baton Rouge known for burglary and theft, and one of them apparently shot and killed 18-year-old Kobe Johnson.
So that one doesn't say who shot either.
Who was attempting an armed robbery.
I didn't see who pulled the trigger. And maybe someone knows.
So they go to sell something. The guy shows up, tries to rob him.
Johnson, who died at the scene Saturday afternoon, pulled out a weapon and demanded their belongings while in the back seat of a truck in which Edwards-Helaire and Small were in the front seat, according to a release by Baton Rouge Police Information Officer. Johnson lived a few blocks away.
But doesn't say which one of them pulled the trigger. I mean,
so Poncho on our Twitch just said, authorities have said they will not release who shot.
Okay, who pulled the trigger?
Yeah.
Okay. But, I mean, you know, either way, whether you're the one who pulled the trigger or the friend who's there, I could see why that would lead to dramatic flashbacks. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Wow. And the players called 911 after the shooting.
Yeah.
They called 911 immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like self-defense.
Yep. Yeah. And that's what they decided. It says that they decided that it was self-defense and they were legally cleared.
Either you kill someone or you watch someone be killed right in front of you. It's traumatic.
Yeah. So, yeah, I had never heard of that incident. I had no idea, and I certainly didn't know that he was suffering from PTSD. I just saw the news that he wouldn't be playing. So there you go. There's the Clyde Edwards. That's the Chiefs news that I got for you.
Hope everyone's cool about that. You know, the fan base.
Yeah, I would think that they are, right?
I would hope so. I mean,
it seems like the team's being cool about it.
I don't know how PTSD works.
Me neither.
You know?
I was diagnosed with it once. It's brutal.
Right. I don't know. People have said that maybe I have it from...
Yeah.
But I don't, like... This is going to sound, again, I'm going to get in trouble because I'm not woke. But part of being crazy, I know you're not supposed to use that word anymore, but I'm using it on me now, is not knowing that you are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So people be like, hey, man, you might have problems from when you were in that war. And I'm like, nah, I'm good.
Right.
And my dad was the same way. I'm like, Dad, you ever think about it? Nah, I don't even think about it. So I don't know how it works. It seems like a long time ago to just be kind of dealing with it now. But I also think we probably go through our lives and we think this doesn't affect me, or we push it down, suppress it.
I don't know.
Maybe he goes and talks to somebody, or he figures it out, and now he needs time to figure it out. Maybe that'll be 10 years from now for me. And people are like, dude, you really need to talk to someone.
Yeah.
You know, but right now, so I use that word, but part of probably having PTSD and trying to deal with it to some degree is like, at least even if you say, I do know I have something, but I can deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Instead of just automatically being like, oh my God, I or someone else shot this kid, I need to go to therapy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That probably doesn't happen right away.
No.
And we wish probably that it would. So, I did hear people talking like, well, you know, it was so long ago, why is he dealing with it now, whatever. Like, hey, we don't know.
Well,
but the good part is that he's getting help now.
Yeah.
Right? So, again, Poncho on our Twitch said apparently at the shooting at the parade, he was shielding kids, and that kind of brought back.
Oh. Okay.
Okay.
So that makes sense.
See that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know much about PTSD. The way it's been described that I've seen is in order to deal with traumatic events, we kind of disassociate. The brain has a way of kind of saying, okay, this isn't really happening. We know it's happening, right. But you're taking a step back and you're almost hovering above yourself and saying, okay, which if you've ever lost a loved one and you know, kind of felt that, like, why do I feel this numbness? It could be because you're stepping back a little bit. And imagine you go through something extra traumatic that's this surprise thing, and you think that you're in the moment. You think that you've experienced it and dealt with it, but the truth is you step back, and so now your brain can have a difficult time. And again, this is just the way I've heard it described. Can have a difficult time kind of getting back into where it was before, which is into this, I'm not disassociating anymore. I'm not on guard anymore, this constant high alertness, which it can cause, because especially if you're in a war situation or shooting or something like that, it can cause this constant high alert level to never really go away the way it should, or to turn on when it shouldn't. Right. And that can cause major problems.
That's
for
what mine was. My stepdad died, and it didn't bother me at all. I had no feelings. I mean, it bothered me, obviously, but he had cancer. It was a long time coming, so it just didn't affect me really much at all. And then, like, 8 months later, I never had anxiety, and all of a sudden, I started having these horrible panic attacks, and I couldn't leave the house for, like, 3 months.
And
couldn't drive.
A doctor, therapist, someone
said. I eventually
went
in, and we eventually figured out it was, like, PTSD from his death. Because I never dealt with it.
I think there is. I mean, like, if I really were to self-examine myself, I think there's probably a lot of reasons, like, why didn't I get so upset when my dad died?
Right.
Well, probably because I'm not a psychiatrist, but I think, well, that might have something to do with the fact that you were scared to die for so long. You saw people die, and then your brain is just kind of turned off that part. So why are you not interested in being in long-term relationships?
Mm-hmm.
Well, all that stuff is all right. It's over there
in a
box, I promise you, and I just don't unpack it.
Right.
You know, but it's in a box, and I'm sure someone could unpack it. I'm just not interested in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe, I mean, I should be interested in it, but I'm not. So,
and that's
probably part of it, too. Like, you know, all those things, intimacy issues, love issues, building up walls, you know, building up walls and being, you know, ready for when your dad, all that stuff is probably just buried in a box somewhere that, and who knows what happened before the war.
Of course,
was in that box.
That's the tougher part, and then all that stuff.
And then the war and then your dad, all that stuff just gets put in a box. I don't want to deal with it. So, you know, as I sit here and not deal with it and have another shot, I'm glad that Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, for whatever reason, at whatever time, has figured out, hey, man, I want to deal with this. And you know, I've got nothing but love for you, man. Go work on it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The more important things in football.
Absolutely. And the team, just like you said, being a class act about it and wishing him the best. And, you know, you're talking about your dad dying. I mean, I went through the same thing where I was a little concerned because I feared my parents' death my whole childhood because my parents were older than all my friends' parents. And when my dad died, I just expected that when that day came, I wouldn't be able to handle it. And instead, it was like this opposite thing. And when I hear people talk about how that safety mechanism in your brain works, that's the only thing I can come up with for why I didn't not only lose it, but not really, I don't think I got as emotional as I should have because I was going into the safety thing. I'd been mentally preparing for so long that I accidentally just didn't deal with it. So maybe I'll have what Snowcone's talking about later where I finally deal with it, or maybe not, but it's, and even psychiatrists don't know totally how all this stuff works or why it happens to some people and not others. It's a mystery. But just admitting, for Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, just to admit this, you know, is I think a sign of strength. Like, hey, because I could get ridiculed by people.
It's all about
exactly
strength.
Manliness.
You can't hurt me.
Yeah,
you know, you got to be mentally tough. Walk it off.
Yeah,
right. Like, you know, guys, you know, miss their children's birth. You hear about it, oh, their child was born. Yeah. You know, but you know, I'm going to play the game, and I'm not saying you know. Not playing the game or playing the game. I'm not making a judgment whether you should or you shouldn't. I don't
yeah.
think, you know, whatever. But, you know, that toughness, that mental toughness, we will get through it, right?
Yep.
Like Kobe Bryant, right? You know, the, yeah. you know, hey, Mamba mentality. And there is something to it. I get it.
Absolutely.
There is, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, there is something to be able, in that profession, to be able to shut it off.
Yes,
you have to be able
just
to
like
shut
soldier.
It off. Like some, and you know, people get mad at me because, but Simone Biles was not able to shut it off,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's okay, right? I think the problem is that we then compare it to Kobe, who probably was able to just shut all that off,
mm-hmm.
right? It's okay, man. And if you, if, so my thing is like we can say that, man, I'm really impressed with the fact that Kobe is able to shut all that off, right? Was able to just clear it all out. Doesn't matter, get to work, right? But I can also be like, hey, I'm really impressed that Simone Biles said there's something more important going on with me and I need to go get help, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yep.
That's what makes humanity great, is yep. that we're just different, and it's okay. And you're right, I think we should celebrate the fact that he wants to, you know, hey, I'm going to go get
help. Knowing that this will make
help.
The news, absolutely.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to go get help. Talk about it anyway. So, yeah, nothing but yeah. the best of luck.
It does take some getting used to.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, everybody just calm down.
On 98.9 The Rock. It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know, could kill
the order of hornets.
Groupies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on The Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo!
What's up,
so,
Big Slick?
We're doing the news, my man. We're doing the news. You know Venezuela? You ever heard of that place?
No.
Come
nowhere.
On, you've heard. Not the person, the country.
Oh, she's a stripper.
Well, yeah, okay, that's true, yes. No,
you got rotavirus from her.
That's someone else. That was Kitty. The country of Venezuela, you know, they've been having some rough times in the last, I don't know, however many years.
Sounds nice.
I don't follow, you know, all
Venezuelan politics,
global geopolitical news as closely as I should, maybe, and what's going on with Venezuela's economy. But I do know I would see stuff in the news about horrible inflation and people trying to get the hell out of there, and
that's
money
here.
Not being worth anything. Well, right.
I thought that was here.
Yeah, no, way worse there. Like way worse.
For sure.
Yeah. Then they got this.
How much is,
like, they ran out of food?
Ozempic. I'm going to use something you love.
Probably cheaper.
Venezuela.
Probably cheaper. Yeah.
And how much is it here?
Probably cheaper. It can't be as expensive because there's nowhere as expensive as the United States.
How much is milk
in Venezuela? That I don't know. I'd have to look it up. But, you know, things have gotten better than they were a few years ago, so I've heard. But the United States government really doesn't like this Maduro guy that's leading the country. They say that his election was shady and the whole thing.
Milk in Venezuela is $6.90.
Right, ain't that far off. Is that the organic?
It just says milk regular, 1 gallon.
There you go.
1 gallon.
Yeah.
So.
But
it's not that much different.
Not from like the name brand grocery stores. This is like $5.38 or something a gallon. Yeah, Aldi, it's cheaper. But
how much is ground beef in Venezuela?
That's gotten really expensive. Venezuela. Yeah, Venezuela. You got it.
I can't say it.
Yeah, that's okay.
I can't do the la stuff.
Well, while he looks up the food prices, I'll tell you this. The United States government seized their leaders. You want to call him president, you want to call him dictator, whatever. They seized his airplane, basically his Air Force One. They just brought it here, and they took it.
This morning, the U.S. ramping up pressure on Venezuela's president, Nicolas Maduro. In a dramatic move, federal authorities seized his plane and brought it to the United States. The Department of Justice says Maduro has used this Dassault Falcon 900EX to visit other countries, like it's his own version of Air Force One.
So we've seized this aircraft in violation of U.S. sanctions and other criminal matters that we're looking at with this aircraft.
So they're saying, hey, there's sanctions against this guy because we don't like him. He bought this airplane through some sort of fake shell company, and someone in Florida sold it to him. He's been using it as his Air Force One to do government business, but because he bought it from us illegally, we're taking it back. which is really bizarre.
Okay.
But I don't know how sanctions work. I mean, didn't they take a bunch of oligarchs' yachts when the war in Ukraine started?
Yeah, I heard all that, but I never saw any yachts.
Oh, I saw pictures of the yachts. Okay. They had some that were like stranded.
I never
places.
Saw like the ATF or the Coast Guard bringing like a bunch of oligarch yachts into the Baltimore Harbor.
There were some that were floating around in the Caribbean there for a while. They didn't know what to do with
it. Froze American accounts.
But, I mean, once something's sold, look like, I kind of feel like
there are a lot of good
no takesies, backsies. The guy figured out how to buy it through a shell company. You lost in this transaction. You're not supposed to sell to him. Oops. He tricked you. He got the plane. He wins. Now you're going to go down there and take it back? I mean, that seems almost like an act of war to me, but whatever.
How much is ground beef there?
Yeah, did you figure it out?
I had to pull it up 1 second.
Here. You did have it pulled up?
I did.
You found it?
Between $4.56 and $7.56 per kilo. I don't know.
How much is a kilo?
Right. No one knows.
It says per
only
kilo
Bernie gram. Sanders
kilo
knows
to
that.
A pound. What's that?
2.2 pounds, right?
It is?
I don't know.
Yeah. So $5 for 2.2 pounds of ground beef? It's cheaper than it is here?
Ground beef is expensive.
Yeah, I don't know this website.
Well, why is this place getting all this heat?
I don't know, because maybe their dollar is... I don't know, dude. I'm not an economist. Their unemployment rate got really high, and then their dollar became worthless at some point, and so there was a big problem there. And maybe things have gotten better. I don't know. Maybe that airplane was really helping out.
We're talking U.S. dollars,
maybe this Maduro guy's helping out. Yeah, that's true. Like, how many Venezuelan dollars do you make an hour when you live in Venezuela? And then how many Venezuelan dollars does it cost?
American dollars over there.
Yeah, because the American dollar is still strong. So, okay, yeah, that's a little different. Okay, as soon as Oasis announced that they were getting together to do this reunion tour, mm-hmm. I had flashbacks of the unicorn frappuccino at Starbucks, which is my whole... Well, it's my unicorn frappuccino. It was the one time I decided I would try to get something popular and risk the embarrassment of being told, you can't have it, it's sold out, you're an idiot, which is exactly what happened. And I feel the same way about Oasis. I'm not a huge Oasis fan, but if I were and I really wanted to go to the show,
good luck.
Once I heard that they were getting back together, I would just think, well, that's not my life. I won't be going to see them, right? There's just no way that I'll be able to afford tickets from whoever's going to sell them to me, because it's impossible to buy them. Like, what? I'm going to go on Ticketmaster's website and buy them at midnight or something? There's no way.
Not a chance.
And shockingly, that's what's happening. For their opening shows in the UK and Ireland, Ticketmaster Europe, whatever it's called, Ticketmaster UK, that operates over there to sell tickets, has been getting criticized because of these long wait times and their servers crashing and people not being able to get tickets.
I've been in the line now for an hour and a half, and there's still 14,000 people ahead of me.
Many claiming extensive waits, system glitches, and sky-high surge pricing for the concert dates in the UK and Ireland next year. British TV host Dan Walker posting on X, there has got to be a fairer, simpler, more efficient way of selling tickets. Ticketmaster UK, which operates abroad, says they don't set ticket prices. Promoters and artists do. And the band, in response to the outrage, posting on X, Oasis Live 25 tickets can only be resold at face value via Ticketmaster UK and Twickets. And tickets appearing on other secondary ticketing sites are either counterfeit or will be canceled by the promoters.
So don't buy ones from secondary sites. But if your buddy's got them in his app, mm-hmm. or by, say, buddy, this scalper, whatever they are, and you say, okay, I will buy those from you, it's going to cost more than face value.
Yeah, it's not gonna
and
be
then
face.
They will say, what's your email? Okay, here we go. Send it to you. I'm not shocked at all. I would be shocked if people are like, well, tickets went on sale for the first dates of Oasis, and people are happy with how it's all gone, and the wait times weren't very long, and the servers are all held up, and people think the prices are fair.
That would be shocking.
That would be absolutely shocking. What's not shocking is the opposite. Of course, it's Oasis, and people love that band for whatever reason, and they're excited about this reunion. So, yes, if you're a fan, I would just think... Like I said, if I was a fan, I would go, oh, that's great news, but I won't be a part of it. Even if they come to my town, I won't be a part of it. Unless I were able to get tickets through work because I happen to be lucky enough to work at a radio station.
Right.
That's the only way I would even think, like, I wonder if I'll be able to go to that.
I'm going
to
go to it. I'm going to try to buy tickets, but it's going to be a pain in the ass.
And it's going to be expensive. Right? Like, I'm going to have to buy them from somebody else. They say that I don't know how they regulate that, I guess, because everything's done digitally now. If you want tickets, if you've got them in your little folder on your app, then you email them to somebody else and you can transfer those tickets. They must have a way of seeing how much money is being spent through the app. But my thing is, you could easily say, Venmo me, or hand me cash or whatever. There's no way they'll know, and I would just assume that's what's going to happen. Also, when tickets go on sale for shows like this, and there aren't very many shows like this, but big shows that people are excited about, Taylor Swift, maybe Adele, I don't know. There's always the bots, and there's always I was there at midnight, and I got kicked back in the back of the line, and there's 14,000 people in front of me taking hours. That happens every time.
There's only so many seats, baby.
There's only so many seats, and you're not smart enough
people want
to
get in them,
to create a bot that can buy these.
That's going to cause a problem.
There's always going to be some bot that's able to buy these tickets up. I just don't know how they prevent that. I mean, they can figure out one bot and just decode that maybe and say, all right, we shut that one down. But then someone just comes up with another one that they don't recognize for a while that buys more tickets.
Did you hear, I think it was Liam, his story about being at a party and a guy coming up to him and saying he was a big fan. Did you hear this?
No.
So apparently it's Liam, I think, is at a party.
Okay.
Or at a bar, something, right, in L.A.
Okay.
And a guy comes up to him and he says, hey, I have a friend of mine, massive fan of yours. Will you come say hi? And he's like, yeah, okay. So he goes over there and he meets the guy. He's like, hey, nice to meet you. And the guy's like, I'm a huge fan. You know, I'm in a band because of you.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, really? What band? What band are you in? Right? Like, which is a normal question. Mm-hmm. And the guy's like, oh, I'm the bass player in Maroon 5. And Liam goes, wait, hold on a second.
That's what you inspired.
That's what he said. He goes, you got Maroon 5 from what I'm doing? And then literally he said, looked at the guy and said, be gone with you.
Seriously?
Be gone with
you. That's rude.
Right.
That's rude as hell.
So I told him, be gone with you.
Well, you say to his face, I mean, you walk away.
It's not over.
I know. It's on brand.
The story's not over.
Okay, sorry.
So they're at the bar, and he continues drinking. The guy leaves or whatever, and they end up going to, like, this house party in the Hollywood Hills. He's like, it's like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I come out of the bathroom, and there's that guy. And I look at him and say, Jesus Christ, you're still here? And the guy's like, it's my house. And he goes, and they go, what do you say to him? He goes, I look at him and say, nice digs. And then just walked away.
Time for a smoke break.
Fire it up.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock. It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know. Could kill
the order of hornets.
Whoopies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Hi.
Hi. So, we're finishing the news.
Please.
I feel like this is one of the bigger stories nationally because there's some debate surrounding it. It involves a teenager from your hometown, Detroit.
Okay.
Who was speeding, going at speeds of over 100 miles an hour, smashed into a tree, and his passenger and friend, a 16-year-old, was killed in this crash. Okay? Now, the kid has been charged. He's not been charged as an adult, although he could be sentenced as an adult, they said.
Okay.
But he has been charged, you know, vehicular manslaughter, that sort of stuff. Now, the mother...
drinking or no?
I haven't heard anything about alcohol.
Okay.
The mother of the deceased teen is suing the mother of the arrested teen, the speeding teen. This is because, as I mentioned earlier, this has happened now where parents of the school shooter in Michigan, they got charged and they were found guilty.
Right.
So they're saying, hey, you know what? Maybe parents should be responsible. This kid was not an adult. He was a minor. He shouldn't have had access to these vehicles because the mom knew that he was speeding. Now, my thing was, okay, so she knew that he was speeding, but how is that a lawsuit in and of itself? Well, it goes further than that. The mom had that app 360 or whatever that thing's called, where you track your kids. And so she knew that her kid was speeding, and she had actually, they have text messages that the mom had sent to her son telling him, you need to slow down. You were going over 100. Things like that. I mean, very specific. Okay. I know that you were going this fast. You need to slow down. You're scaring me, right? But then goes ahead and leaves town and leaves her keys to the car there for him because she never, that we know of, told her son that he had to stop driving. Now we also have video of this kid speeding. It looks like he's in one of the first part of the video, they show him in what looks like maybe a Cadillac CTS-V or maybe an ATS-V, some sort of a Cadillac V car, and he's doing like 130 or something. I mean, he's booking it. They'll tell you in this audio clip here, it's fast. Then in the next one, I think he's in an Alfa Romeo in the second clip, doing over 100 in that video. And then the car that he ends up crashing is a BMW that his mom had bought. So I'm assuming that all these cars were his mom's. That's what it seems like. I don't know. If he had his own Cadillac V-car of some sort, I'd assume he would have been driving it. I get the impression that maybe his mom's going through cars. You got dad's car, maybe, and mom's car? I really don't know, because you've got the Cadillac, the Alpha, and then ultimately the BMW. So maybe mom sold the Cadillac, or
well, they could have more than one.
Or they could have four cars. Points, well, I'm saying if they had two cars, maybe the Alpha's dad's car, and the, but maybe they have three cars, four cars. Maybe dad's really into cars, maybe mom's really into cars. I don't know. But the mother of the victim is suing and saying, look, you knew that he was speeding, you sent these text messages, and you should have taken the keys away. It's an interesting idea, because... like I say, you
how did the mom get the text messages?
Because I guess from this lawsuit and the police. So they got information from the police when they decided to file this lawsuit to sue the other mother. This happened, you know, however many months ago, and it started to become national news when the media started to get word of this lawsuit against the mom. And what is that app called, 360? It says in here somewhere.
Yeah, right? Life 360.
Life 360. Did you use that?
I did, yeah.
And so does it? Is it just attached to their phone and then just tells you where they are? Does it give you any other information?
It tells you, like, heartbreaking, speeding.
So it tells you that level of detail.
Speeding or not speeding.
I just checked that. It says it'll alert you if there's a crash, like detected.
Okay.
Absolutely send, you know, medical help.
Okay.
But it'll also tell you, like, you know... it knows, it's like anything else, it's just GPS, really, and it knows if the speed limit is 75, it will tell me, like, hey, they're going 15 miles an hour over the speed limit right now.
Okay.
It'll send me a warning.
So it's specifically designed for driving? Is that what it is?
Okay. And it'll tell you, like, hard braking, and it'll give you a weekly update.
Okay,
like,
gotcha.
This is how many times your kid was speeding. This is how many times your kid was hard-breaking.
Just like what the insurance company wants when they say, hey,
exactly,
sign up for this.
Exactly, same thing.
Yeah, and you don't have to plug it into your car's computer or anything. It's just
it's on
your phone. Okay.
And then if you're not driving, like, so my kid would be like, okay, I'm in the passenger seat. Boom, he could hit passenger seat.
Okay.
It would still tell me all that information, but it would be like, you know, he's not driving.
Okay, so
and then I would know because either his car's there or not.
And if he's not in the car, if he's at someone's house, you can still see
where
he's at, but then that's all it tells you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't let you, like, listen into their conversations or anything like that? Okay. I know there's a lot of apps for tracking your kids.
Sure.
I just don't know the differences between them.
Dramatic new video showing a teen driver going nearly 140 miles per hour. Just a few months after this video, police say he killed his friend, Flynn Mackerel, who was riding with him in a high-speed crash. In this video, he's going 115. This one appearing to show the teen engaging in drag racing. Now, he's charged with second-degree murder. Flynn Mackerel's mother spoke to us.
There are people everywhere. There are families. There are people driving. And I'm sure they were scared to death.
So she goes on. She said she was sitting on a ticking time bomb. She knew that he was out of control, yet she basically gives him a weapon. It's like she handed him an AR-15. That's what she told the Detroit Free Press.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I was fascinated by the lawsuit against the parents of the school shooter. I'm fascinated by this as well. Is this a new precedent? Is it a slippery slope? Is it? My thing is, like, with the amount of information that this parent had, does she have a legal responsibility to keep him from doing something he's legally allowed to do? It's the cops. You know, if the cops had caught him speeding, they would have taken away his license for going that fast, right?
Did the other mother not know?
It doesn't say anything about what she knew.
Right, but what did she
knew
beforehand?
Right.
Like,
it doesn't say anything about her knowing that her son was hanging out with the kid who drove fast.
The kid knew.
The friend. Yeah, the friend must have known.
Right, the friend knows. Like, we know. I had a buddy of mine, John, we were driving up. That guy, I mean, he just drove. Like, we were all like, man, just, you know, 120 miles an hour everywhere. And spun out on the freeway and, you know, was just... crazy, a literal crazy. We all knew.
Yeah, we knew.
That would be my problem. I would be really mad if that happened to my son. I can't imagine how mad I would be.
But does a minor have the capacity to say, I shouldn't be riding with this person? Is it an adult's responsibility to say, hey, I know, we knew, but we still got in those cars with our friends that ran from cops and drove too fast, and you thought, boy, I don't like being the passenger in this car anymore. But... that kid was ultimately a minor, you know. So is it the adults in the room, so to speak, responsibility to say, oh, look, I know that this kid is doing this.
I need to stop them. Like, I could be convinced otherwise. But I think the mom's got 360. She's trying her best. She's telling him to slow down. Like, she's not the police. And so how she parents her child is how she parents her child. And almost to the extent of, like, she has 3 sections, she's telling him to slow down. She's telling him not to do it. So, like, the proof that you're using against her is almost proof that she is at least concerned. Like, I get it.
Yeah, one of the texts just said, slow the F down.
But then she bought him a faster car. Now, well, whether she knew it was a faster car.
Is it that she bought him a car? It's not clear that...
She's driving her car.
It says she went out and bought this car, but I'm not clear...
Plus the car in and of itself.
Yes, after she said slow down, they went and bought... I mean, there was an Audi apparently involved at some point in all this.
Okay, but what car is she going to buy that this... Like, okay, they can all go 120.
Well, some take a lot...
What
more
is she
time
buy
to do
him? Like, okay.
She can buy him a Chevy Cruze. You know what
right.
I mean?
Maybe
it's
going to
be difficult. I'm sure whoever's buying these cars, they're all performance. Every car that they mentioned, there's an X3. I don't know what the Audi was, but then I can tell that Cadillac is some sort of a V car from the sound and from the interior. With some sort of Alfa Romeo, which, you know.
Looks like she bought him the X3 after she had said she slow the
X3
down.
Was bought after that, yes. But was it bought for him? I don't know. Some articles say, yeah. Some articles say bought him the car. Other articles say she bought. She went out and bought a BMW X3 after.
Well, with Laszlo, she had the light 360. She is saying slow down. You know,
right.
And then you're giving, and I get what this victim's mom is saying, though, too. Like,
yeah, for sure.
You've got this M-Series X3. You've got these V-Series cars. You've got these super fast cars, and you know your kid is being dangerous. He's being lethal, and yet you continue to give him access to these, so to speak, weapons, is what she's saying. She compared it to an AR-15.
And letting other kids in the
I don't like
them.
It. I don't like suing the parents. I really don't.
I don't love it.
I think it's a slippery slope, and I hate to say that, but
I don't like it.
I didn't like it when it happened to school shooter's parents, and I don't like it now.
The school shooter's parents felt more to me.
I get it.
That felt more to me. This is kind of like, hey, I know my kid speeds, whatever. You know, I don't know, like... I told him to slow down. I have the light 360. If I see it comes on, I tell him to slow down. I'm trying to get him to slow down.
Well, the school shooter's parents were brought that day, and they said, take this kid home.
I understand.
Right,
yeah.
And
they were crappy parents.
Right.
So it's
not like
the mom was in the car.
Right, and said, take him home. And like, no.
Right.
I get it. They were crappy parents. The reason I didn't love that was because I was afraid it would lead to this, which could then lead to more. That it's like, hey, we're setting this new precedent of if a kid does something, then the parents are legally responsible as well, even if they weren't there.
But you can see the case, right?
I do. I saw it. I saw the argument. Absolutely. Yeah. I was torn. I'm sort of torn on this one, especially since the parents of the school shooter were convicted.
Right.
So, well, yeah, I mean, if they were convicted, then I could see how you make the case here.
Man.
But that's my thing, is that I don't love it, is all. I think these are crappy parents too, giving this kid access to these performance vehicles.
What if she didn't have the 360?
I think that your case is a hell of a lot weaker, right?
Right.
If you don't have evidence now, if she didn't have these text messages that said "slow down," I know you're driving that fast. I don't know that the other mother, you know, would have a case here at all.
Which is kind of weird. But if she didn't have 360, she would have a weaker case. But because she got this thing, that
she's trying to do better.
Except that she keeps giving him access to these performance vehicles.
Well, she doesn't
giving the moms a juxtaposition
of those two.
Right, and take the performance vehicle away from whatever. They have money.
Yeah.
I'm guessing her mom isn't thinking about it like gearheads are. Like, oh, man, the X3 is performance. She's like, it's a nice car.
Right.
We have money. We live in Grosse Pointe. It's expensive.
Right.
That's what we're buying. She's not buying, like, I know my kid can go faster in this. That's not what she's thinking.
That's my thing. I don't think she was thinking about that.
Right. No. So that said, like, she is trying to control him to some degree. I don't know. Like, of all the things that you, of all the things we try to control our kids on, like, well, you know your kid was doing cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. And I tried to get him to stop, and I threatened him with rehab. Yeah, but then he did cocaine and beat the crap out of my kid and killed him.
Mm-hmm.
That's your fault. I don't love that.
It's okay, like someone do you do if you get a notification, you know, Euro's going 140?
Yeah, well, that hasn't happened, thank God.
Yeah,
and I'm
obviously.
Just saying, thank God.
Yeah, obviously.
But I have seen on his notifications, like, you know, was breaking hard 3 times this week.
Sure.
I'll be like, yo, dude, you know.
Do you think you get to a point where you take away the keys?
Of course
I could, for sure, but I haven't seen anything that's been so bad. But also, like, you know, sometimes it gets tricky. Like, one week there was, like, 19 times of use of phone while driving.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yo, man, are you texting and driving? You cannot text and drive. Mm-hmm. You can't do it. And he's like, no, I set up a thing, and I just say, like, hey, Siri, play the Strokes. And that comes up as use of phone. And I'm like, okay.
Okay,
so he's just doing it now. But in my car, it would come up as Usaphone on the thing. So, like, if you go, okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'll believe you. I trust you. I believe you. You know, but also.
But if he's doing 130 more than once, I'd take the keys.
You're done.
Right.
You are done.
Someone on the text line said, do dealers get charged when a customer overdoses? Well, when a dealer sells someone drugs and then the customer overdoses, the dealer was already breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
The mom wasn't breaking the law by allowing this kid to drive. The kid was breaking the law when he was speeding, but the mom was not breaking the law when she allowed him to drive.
We've decided that the kid has his own agency to some degree at 16,
yep,
and he's allowed to drive. Those mistakes are his. Unfortunately, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, look, it's a tragic thing, and I think that the mom, the parents certainly didn't do much, right? My parents would not have let me drive. They would not have been handing me keys to any car, let alone those cars. There would not have been any driving. If there was driving, it would have been because I stole the keys somehow and did it behind their back. If they knew that I was driving over 100 miles an hour multiple times, and they after telling me to slow down, there's no way that they would have let me drive. They would have taken if I had access to a car, had a car, they would have taken it away completely, for sure. I know my parents. And at the very least, they would have said, you're not driving for this long. And so I don't know. We'll see what happens with this.
I don't love it.
I don't either, but we'll see.
Time to pass the collection plate.
Give with a joyful heart, and you will be blessed.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.